Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk of Vikings victory. That's right, the Minnesota Vikings start the season on the right foot, 23-7 over the hated Green Bay Packers. We were just talking off air how we had pressure on old man Rodgers. He doesn't have a lot to pass to at this moment here. But, man, I mean, it was fun to see him over the time of the game just have to get rid of the ball, just get hit, not by just one guy, sometimes two, three guys. Overall, you know, it was just a fun, fun game to watch, especially as an opener. We know we have a Monday night game, going to have a short week the next week, and then go into London. We know we got divisional games. It's nice to get up on the Green Bay Packers. We'll see you at the end of the year. Just a great, great way to start. We got to see differences on both sides of the ball. We're definitely going to break that down more than we will break down drive by drive, because there's so much to talk about when it comes to what we saw on both sides of the ball. If this is your first time listening to this year Vikings podcast, the Purple People Eaters podcast, you can find it live streaming on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open, download the show directly there or listen to the browser. You can find it in a variety of places. You can find it under the Rope It Dope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, in a variety of other spots. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegrillingtruth.com. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. For a limited time only, the prices start as low as $49.99 for 2 months. It's the best of live TV and on-demand. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. Plus, you get to enjoy regional sports networks without the additional fees. And if you upgraded the Choice or Ultimate Package, that gives you 3 free months of Showtime, Stars, Cinemax, and Epix. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host here on the pod 5 years in. Complimentary football, Aaron. That's what we've been talking about. We've talked about certain positions to be serviceable. Of course, the interior offensive lineman. We're going to talk about a variety of stuff, but complimentary football. Hey, we'll do this. Can you do this? We'll do a little of that. Can you do that? We need you there. The punter, the kicker, like everybody kind of contributed beyond just the spectacular day by Justin Jefferson, which obviously stands above everything else. But, man, it was fun to see both sides of the ball be different. And, obviously, starting out on the right foot, something we haven't done since 2019, 1-0 against the Green Bay Packers, sir.
Different and dynamic. I mean, both sides were different, and they were dynamic. And they really showcased a lot of things that we had heard about in the offseason but weren't quite sure what we were going to see, and they kind of settled in and let us know exactly what it was, at least the direction that we're headed for the rest of the season on both sides of the ball. Offense was a lot of motion, pre-snap, that you didn't see a lot of. Kirk's got a new cadence. There's definite difference. Sorry, I stumbled upon those two words. Definite difference in the play calling as far as run pass. I mean, we'll get into the difference in ratio later, but just to not go run pass, and get my defense out there. I mean, that's a big change in itself. And like I said to you, just kind of sat on the couch and absorbed it all. Didn't get too high or too low, just kind of sitting there with my eyes wide open, looking at the changes and the difference. And just kind of what the sideline looked different, everything looked different. And speaking of something that's not different, if you want to check out the show on our Spricker page, it's at Living in Loserville. Check it out there. I know a few of you do, and we're thankful for it. But, yeah, Chris, they really came out defensively was the first thing I wanted to highlight. It was just a different look, and not just the 3-4, because we had seen shades of the 3-4 before. But, you know, to have Za'Darius, to have Hunter, to have Kendricks and Hicks, and to have those four linebackers and the defensive line, It was some new faces, some old faces, but, you know, it really was a difference, a noted difference in the overall tenor of that game.
Yeah, I mean, the three wide receiver set, obviously, we opened the game with that offensive drive. We saw a lot more three wide receiver set. Ham actually getting in the back, you know, being the fullback. We didn't know if there were going to be two tight ends a lot, but didn't seem like there was a lot of them. They showed that stat as far as the personnel stat, you know, how higher it was during that game. And then, like you said, you know, the movement, the motion, not just Jefferson, but just in general, the motion we saw a lot from other teams that have success on offense where a wide receiver will come on looking like it's a reverse. At some point, we'll probably give that reverse to somebody. But Jefferson alone, as far as, you know, different positions he was at the snap, 42 of them, these are all his snaps. He actually lined up as a tight end once. He was in the backfield twice. He was in the slot 12 times and 42 times outside. And seven different motions we saw from him, too. And after the game, he was like, I want more motions, you know. So that just right away to go to our guy, Justin Jefferson, three times on that opening drive, it just felt good. And you know, instead of the run pass, we had runs on first downs and second downs, but or passes on. See, it's even in my head. Subconsciously, I can't get it out of my system. But we passed on first and 10 or even on second down, but especially first and 10. And we know last year we lost so many yards on first down rushing every time. And we had the third and longest. We had the most third down and longest out of anyone in the whole league last year. So that was a breath of fresh air, Aaron, on that first drive and just in general to just mix it up, dude. You know, it doesn't always have to be run pass.
From what I remember, I think Cook had one carry on that first drive. And just to come out first play of the game, you hit Jefferson on a little out pattern. And then, you know, you go down, I think you run Cook there, and then you hit Jefferson again on an out. Thielen got a little something. Then you started hitting Munt a little bit. I mean, just started moving it around and just kind of taking what the defense has given you. And I think the defense really didn't know what they were going to see. I think they watched a bunch of Rams tape and said, okay, this is probably some semblance of what we're going to see. But the way they moved Jefferson around to get him open in the slot, outside, on a linebacker, I think he got caught on a defensive end once. They just kind of moved and motioned to get him open, which is something that could have been done years ago. But I just don't think anybody had the ingenuity to do it. You know, the Kubiaks came in and they had their way of doing things. And, you know, Mike was an old school guy, so I think he wanted to go with what he felt comfortable with. And, but you, when you have a weapon like Jefferson, you have Thielen to balance that off. If you have Cook in the backfield, you can use now as a bit of a decoy or a threat, you know, because we've always said, Chris, you know, it's not the run itself, it's the threat of the run. And you have Cook is immediately the threat of the run. And so you don't really have to do a lot to establish the run because you have Dalvin Cook. So play off that and throw the ball. And that's what they did. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of different nuances because we just saw the opening salvo of this offense. But from what I saw, I thought, well, this is a vast difference and it leaves so much room to grow in that vein. And now, like you said, you can start a reverse off something. You can pitch the ball on some of those motions. You can do a ton of things off that. I just don't think they've shown their whole hand yet. And I think it's going to be pretty incredible if this ball keeps rolling the right way.
Yeah, that's a good call. And since Jefferson has been in the league 2020, on targets and catches, so the most targeted 61 times of a 20-yard pass in the air first and catches first. And the dude just keeps piling up these crazy stats just in the game in general. He actually had the PFF. He had a perfect score, obviously 184 first this week, five receptions of 15 yards or more first. Like I said, the perfect rating. And then just to pile it on a little bit more and just to bring in, you know, a little Randy Moss thing. Age 23 or younger in NFL history, most games with 150 yards receiving, with that age, 23 or younger. Jefferson is tied with Mike Evans and Isaac Bruce with 5. Randy Moss has 6. I got news for you. JJ turned 23 in June, so he's 23 the whole year. My guess is he's going to have another 150-yard, receiving day. But either way, I mean, this kid just keeps on producing. And like you said, it was fun to see just what was open. You know, it doesn't always have to be the same old stuff. And we even saw senior Kubiak and junior Kubiak, how they play called. And you could say senior was actually more, you know, going a little bit more risky because we would go deep a little bit more. And but we stayed with the play action, whereas it took us last year a while to get back to the play action. Because for a while, we were like 5th or 6th in attempts for a good chunk of the year. I think passing attempts, we finished 12th, but only 15th in rushing attempts. So that was kind of a weird mix last year. Sometimes it really worked, sometimes it didn't. But as far as aggression, it's not always we got to throw it deep all the time. That doesn't mean you're being aggressive. It just means, hey, we're going to take this 6 yards, and it's going to be 2nd and 4. And then the playbook opens up. And when we talk about aggression, after the game, Thielen was talking about, you know, these are the quotes, "I've never been a part of an offense where you're just attacking, attacking, and attacking, no matter the score, no matter the situation. You can tack, like I said, so many different ways." And what really did it for me was when it was 20-7, we talked about this off air, where it's like, okay, they scored. Here we go. Let's see what the hell happens. There's plenty of time, 12 minutes or something in the fourth quarter. And they went down there and drove the ball. You know, they didn't, like I said, they didn't overdo it and throw the ball all over the place, but they took care of the ball, passed a little bit, went to Cook. You know, Cook and Mattson, even Thielen made back-to-back plays on first down. So it was like, okay, now we'll get Thielen in. It looks like they're drawing more attention to Jefferson. I just thought that was big. 12 plays, 74 yards, 5 minutes, field goal drive. Yeah, you'd like to get the, you know, there was a decision there on fourth down, but he said, you know what, we needed those points. On that drive, Thielen, Cousins just ripped one to Thielen. Cook and Mattson running really tough, and then J.J. had that leaping catch. And the back-to-back pressures kind of slowed down that drive, but I just liked how we weren't going to, okay, let's just milk the clock. We're going to try to run the ball. If we can't, we'll punt it. That really showed me the first early stuff and then that 5-minute drive in the fourth quarter, and that really showed me a little bit of difference that we're going to see hopefully the whole year.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it. I mean, that drive right there was the drive that generally has been a thorn in our side. The drive to put the game away, or at least to put it out of reach. And it's just been a thorn in our side, particularly last season, because we had a lot of great drives last season. But when it came down to meaningful drives to end the game, I think maybe we had less than 8 because we won 8 games. So, I mean, that's the thing. And then you talk about Thielen. I mean, this guy's, of course he's excited, man, because now next week you're damn sure Philly's going to have a plan for Jefferson.
Right.
So Thielen's going to be running all over the place. And then the next week, they're going to have to cover these guys. And then when you finally cover both of them, you got Osborne to worry about. So it's just the pick your poison that we've always kind of hinted at. Wow, it'd be cool if we could do that, or it should be this way. We should be giving defenses fits because of Jefferson and Thielen and Cook. And, you know, they're starting to swing him out of the backfield a little bit. Mm. And it's just like, where has this been? But at the same time, you know, it's always, we've had the players. Look, we've had the offensive players every year. We go to the draft. We say, we don't need skill position players. We have them.
Right.
We need offensive line, blah, blah, blah. But we never really think about how underutilized they were. And I think, you know, going into the offseason where it was the competitive rebuild, you start to think, well, we got the same guys. And how, you know, should we just tear the whole thing down? And I was in the tear the whole thing down camp. But now I think there is some validity to, you know, keeping your weapons and just finding a new way to use them. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Zimmer and the Kubiaks were, you know, 1950s football, but you got to be 80s and up on that one. I mean, their offense was big with Terrell Davis and those guys when it really was effective back when running backs still were the the way you drove your offense. And that's just not the case anymore, I guess. And it's time to modernize. And, you know, you have the modern parts, you just didn't have the modern system. And now you've paired the modern system with the modern parts. And so far, week one, it was a booming success.
Yeah, in the last year, last 2 years, really, the defense is what was the problem there. And a lot of that had to do with injury. And it did kind of suck as a stud defensive coach to have those type of defense. You know, we see the difference, right? I mean, I remember talking to you a second ago. You talk about the screen batted down. Hunter's like, oh, yep, there he is. That's right. In the offseason, bringing in solid vets. I mean, there's a couple of them that shined in general, especially on defense, obviously. So, yeah, a lot of positivity, no doubt about it. Now, we're also talking about this, Aaron, that obviously things tend to go to the extreme. So if we would have lost, we'd be like, oh, see, I told you, blah, 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 and now people are trying to figure out what the parade route is going to be for the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you know, let's take it in stride. Like you said, it's just nice to get off, not just to 1-0, but Green Bay in the division with this weird schedule that's going to be upon us. Now, we've talked a lot of positives, some negatives. It's kind of funny because, you know, you obviously, we talked about this last week too. You can't, you know, Ed Ingram, you can't go devour him for his pass blocking just yet. You know what I mean? The pass blocking, he got juked. He got, you know, he didn't have a great, him and Bradbury.
Yeah, he got Olaid. I mean, did you see that one where he didn't even touch the guy?
Yeah, he got a little bit of everything. It's like, welcome, you know, welcome to the league. However, his run blocking, and it's funny, he was like the sixth, I just looked it up, he was like the sixth first guard for passing, and I think for pass protection, and Bradbury, I think, was the second worst at center. But when you look at, you know, his numbers passing or rush blocking, it was so good that it actually made him the fourth highest graded guard in the league for the week because it was an 87.4, which is insane just overall. But the run, like, his, like, he picked up a couple blocks that I'm pretty sure was supposed to be Bradbury because he was doing that looking around thing. Anytime a guy's looking around and you're an offensive lineman, especially interior, you know you don't have a block. And he literally picked up a guy that I'm pretty sure was supposed to be Bradbury's. He's like, no, I got this. So as a run blocker, my goodness gracious, Ed Ingram is the real deal. We're going to give him some time in the pass protection department. But, yes, those were kind of the two things that stood out, center and right guard, when it came to actually protecting the quarterback. However, we were getting the ball out quicker. And not just throw it quick, you know. No, the routes were shorter. We were throwing it shorter, but out in space. And, you know, and Cook almost had a break where it would have been a big pickup. And same with Jefferson, one-on-one near the end of the game. He almost broke a tackle, and that would have been a big gain too, especially if he stayed in bounds. Speaking of that, Cook should have stayed in bounds, right, at the end of the game. But those are really the two negatives, and we already kind of knew that that was probably going to be a negative coming in, so it's really not that crazy. And there was – everyone talks about the one play, the deep bomb, that he stepped up. You know what, though? We can credit Cousins there, no doubt about it, but there was an actual pocket to step up into. So it was like, okay, I make a little maneuver. Look at, I got open grass. I'm chucking it deep. He didn't have to, you know, we know he's got a great arm. So that was great, not just on Cousins. A lot of people talk about, oh, he stepped up. Yeah, there was something to step up to. There was open grass there, and that's all you need is a little bit, instead of Bradbury just getting dumped right off the bat, so that takes away your step up right away. So if that's the only thing that we have to complain about, we're in pretty good hands so far.
Yeah, that's the, you know, he just needed that extra second for Jefferson to break free, but, and he did, he stepped up and he had somewhere to step up. It was clear, but you know, I've always been a fan of the parade route, Chris. You got to go down Lake Street and then right across the bridge onto Marshall Avenue, right through Minneapolis Staple. Nonetheless, yeah, Ingram, Bradbury, you know, there was a couple highlights there, or should I say lowlights there, where yeah, he's looking around or he's got half a guy, he's got some guy's arm he's grabbed onto and you're like,
I got an arm, coach.
So I'm willing to bet Ingram picked up a few of those guys yesterday. But he, you know, he had his, he took his lumps. That one guy gave him a little juke move. I think it was Clark gave him a little juke and he fell for it and got right into Cousins. But like I said, that, I think Ingram's thing is fixable. Bradbury's a whole nother topic. It's the weight. I don't know if he's got it, but you know, they, look, it's week one. You never know what's going to get fixed or not fixed. I got a little more faith in the offensive line than I did. You know, Ingram's just got to, you know, you got to think these are bigger, faster, stronger guys coming at you with, you know, regular season force.
Come on, right? McClark's a stud.
So, I mean, I'm willing to give Ingram a mulligan on, but run blocking, they did incredibly well. I thought it was a little tight first half.
Sure.
But I thought, you know, it, towards the end of the game, wearing them down, Cook sort of managed to, and Madison managed to actually get some chunk plays out of it, which was nice. And, you know, you're not running Cook 30 times a game anymore, and you're not running Madison when you're not running Cook. So that's going to help Cook a lot. And like you said, when he starts swinging him out of the backfield as a passing option, it's just going to be ridiculous. And so, yeah, I think that's my negative there offensively. I think there's probably a little rust on him, but which we can't see because everything's new and different. But, you know, they didn't play at all in the preseason, so they got to shake off a little bit of rust, I would think, too. So it'll get smoother. Kirk will get smoother. I was really impressed with him yesterday. Just looked like he had a better command of everything that was going on. And, you know, he made the throws he needed to make. Everybody knew he could make the throws. It's just when he makes them, how he makes them. And I thought he did a really great job of focusing his targets on Jefferson and then going to his other reads if Jefferson wasn't available. So I really liked offensively. And then, like I said, the negatives are pretty much the one negative we expected and another negative, which can probably be fixed pretty quickly in Ingram once he gets his feet under him.
Yeah, and he shined as a run blocker majorly. I mean, he'd help somebody and then go get a safety or linebacker. Like, he really was a great run. I mean, this guy is a difference maker right then and there with the run. So you can build upon that. And like I said, we're getting the ball out a little quicker. We're having some short routes available, and it's not just Ham, you know, or the second tight end. It's unless he's wide open, and it's going to be a first down. So that plays into it too. There was a couple times where Cousins is used to getting pressured. You know, that's no news, right? That fucking happens all the time. But he did, you know, either get rid of the ball or was able to complete it, just getting rid of it quick. And there was an option there, not just Ham out of the backfield. Defensively, they played with violence. I mean,
yes.
That was a throwback defense as far as the Zimmer era where you're like, oh, wow. Like, how many – was that three or four people in on that sack? The pressure. Minor negatives, we'll get into them, but just seeing the lineup, seeing Za'Darius line up all over the place, seeing Hunter line up on different sides, didn't really play under the center guard that much. That's probably going to be Za'Darius, especially he's used to doing it. But that front seven in general, it was a little strange seeing the corners, both corners that far off, and then the safeties up close. It was kind of fun to watch, you know, like you said, we had seen shades of 3-4 with Zimmer, but not this fully like, yeah, dude, wow. Man, that was fun. And like I said, that pressure, and we didn't have to blitz a lot here.
We didn't. And, you know, beyond the obvious of, you know, Za'Darius's pressure and Hunter and the rotation at the outside linebackers, and we're genuinely four deep there. And the corners, I thought, held up decently well. But my biggest surprise was Jordan Hicks, and he's a hard hitter. I didn't think he was a hard hitter. You know, Kendricks has this way of hitting where I wouldn't call him a hard hitter, but he gets the guy to the ground. And,
right.
You know, Hicks has got the same kind of speed, I think the same kind of mind, but he hits a little bit harder. And it was nice to see 58 just go out there and lay the wood on people. I mean, I think that's something you just haven't seen. Even Barr wasn't a big hitter. So to compliment Kendricks and his style, you know, you have Hicks, and, you know, he's not the world's greatest linebacker, but I liked the violence he played with. I liked that when he gets to the ball, he gets to the ball, and you notice it. And I think those two are a great combination inside as middle linebackers there in that system. So I think that's great. I thought Cam had a great game because you didn't notice him besides the fact that he went out injured for a second there. It just seemed like his side was just quiet, you know, and you didn't really even notice Peterson much because I think I noticed him come up on a run support once and then, you know, the pass that got dropped, you know, he might want to have that one back, but thank God the kid didn't catch it. So I think that was it. My negatives here, swinging into negatives, I really just the inside of that line, and I think a lot of that has to do with just these guys haven't played together. Tomlinson, Phillips, Lynch has been around for a hot minute, but, you know, he's getting a few snaps here and there. Bullard, I think they need to just kind of gel a little bit more because we gave up, 6.5 yards a run? That's not good. But you're also facing Dylan, who's a big, thick
dude.
Yeah,
they love to run the ball, that's for sure.
And he's coming down here. You're going to get sick of tackling that guy sooner or later. I mean, it's going to happen. So I think that had a little bit to do with that. So I just think really, you know, run defense is my real only negative there that I could see. I'm sure there's others that, you know, got past my eyes, but the glaring one to me was run defense.
Well, and it was up and down on the line because, you know, that goal line stance, you know, beyond Harrison. And by the way, Harrison Smith is not too old just yet, as he showed a couple different times. Great pick on one-on-one. I just out-jumped you, timed it better. And then that tackle he made with, I think, was it the running back? I think it was Dylan. I don't know. Somebody out there, he made a great, goal line touchdown saving tackle, and that set up for, you know, I think that was third down. And fourth down, it was Phillips who switched real quick, filled a hole, had two guys on him, made the play. I think Tomlinson and I think it was Hicks that came from the side too, just to get two turnovers, one pick, one fumble, where there was literally three or four guys that met. I think Hicks hit the offensive lineman hard too, trying to hit Rodgers. Like you said, he definitely could lay the wood. But and then two turnover on downs, right in the, both of them in the end zone, basically, right at the goal line, and then at the end of the game. So they were a bend, but they sure didn't break when push comes to shove. So I liked what I saw. You know, having Tomlinson, I just assumed off of his weight he'd be in the middle, but they have him on the right side mostly. And when you have Za'Darius going underneath the guard or center, all of a sudden you see Tomlinson from the angle getting pressure. And neither, you know, he didn't get a sack, but he got it several pressures. And that just tells you, like, dude, wow, that's kind of interesting because he's so damn big. But he did show a little bit of that last year. But I liked what I saw on certain plays. But you're right, there was some chunk plays on the ground that definitely, you know, was like, all right, we still got to worry about our run defense, no doubt. And I did, like you said, Patrick Peterson, he didn't maybe make the tackle, but there was a couple times, because, you know, when an old corner, you know, they start making business decisions, and you just start, you're slower. He'd get blocked, but he'd fill up the block and take his man to where someone could, you know, make the tackle. So I did like you said, not just our linebackers who are both tackling machines on the inside, I did like the corner and safety play there, especially the corners making those tackles. I liked what I saw of that. The corners just got the job done. Like you said, they were just solid beyond, you know, getting toasted, that one play by Peterson. But just a great performance. I'll say this, for a little bit, Hicks was a little up and down because for a little bit they were targeting him with the running back out of the backfield. And he got, I think it was like, 8 targets or something, and he did actually give up like 7 of those catches or something like that, but he made plays back, and it was like 2 drives where they exploited it, but then all of a sudden they didn't anymore. And so that was really, really fun to see him, like you said, attack like that. But yeah, if you look at, so interior defensive linemen, because that's basically in a 3-4, they're all interior in a sense, but defensive lineman Tomlinson, Aaron Donald, like, his pass run win rate has never been below 25% since 2017. He was 27.8. But the fourth, or tied, I guess, tied for third was Tomlinson, 25% of his pass win rates. I mean, that's huge in for the actual for the week. So that's pretty big when we can get pressure from a variety of places. And overall, when you look at Rodgers, speaking of defensive, first interception versus a North opponent since December 29, 2019 versus or at Detroit. 395 pass attempts, which was crazy. And then, it was 38 straight. What was it? Streak is 38 INT without an INT. I mean, that was crazy. I couldn't believe it was that long. And then they even flashed that, like, for 15 games, he turned the ball over twice. And in this game, you know, he had turned the ball over, obviously, twice. So that was nice. No doubt about it. And another thing about the defense, okay, because we're going to, thanks to StatMuse, we're going to have to check this out. The Minnesota Vikings gave up 0 points in the final 2 minutes of a half for the first time since 2020. And so we didn't give up the points, you know, last two, and even if you put it to the last 4 minutes of the second, and obviously the final, the fourth quarter. That was a big, big plus, Aaron, to not make him feel better heading in the half and obviously, you know, ruining the game at times for us down the stretch in the fourth quarter. That was big alone right there.
It was. And, you know, that's a little known part of the game. I shouldn't say little known, but a less thought of part of the game that yesterday that, you know, shouldn't go unnoticed. It's important. And, you know, like you said, I sit on the couch and you're kind of just like, wow. You want to wait for that other shoe to drop and you get, you know, Rodgers gets the ball back. You're like, okay, is this basically going to go down here? Cause he always has and he always will. And no, he didn't, you know, and it's just refreshing to have a change in that dialogue. And you were saying about Harrison Smith as well. I think, you know, he really played a quiet game. He had the interception, a few really good tackles, pass breakup. So I guess he wasn't quiet, but it's just good to see him kind of asserting himself defensively and shining like he did. Kendricks as well made a big play. He always makes that big play against Rodgers every game, whether we win or lose, he's going to make a big play against Rodgers. And, you know, I think a lot of guys made some quiet plays and some big plays. And, you know, Tomlinson, it seems like he's stout enough to hold up. I just don't know if we have another defensive tackle to go with him. I mean, we've got some guys to try, Blacklock, Bullard, Lynch. We might need to find someone else, and maybe we're still in the market for a certain one. We don't know, but I think they're going to rotate anyway, so it's not like any guy's going to get a bunch of snaps. And that's the thing with the rotation, Chris, is like you're rotating the linebackers, you're rotating the defensive line, so now you got fresh bodies in the fourth quarter. And you know, Zimmer had a tendency to, I like this guy, trust this guy, this guy's going to play 60 minutes for me, and you're not getting him out of the game. And you know, a lot of guys probably got tired, and that's why you got one theory as to why you were getting scored on at the end of the half and the end of the game a lot, just guys being gassed. But that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I really love the outside linebackers, just to finish off my defensive points. It looks like they're four deep. You're getting great rush out of Jones. You're getting great rush out of Wanham. And you might even have another one down under those guys that might even be able to play. So, you know, you that want those guys to stay.
That close on DJ?
Whew. Yeah.
That was nasty.
It was. And quick. And he hit hard.
I thought for sure he was going to get a couple more yards, you know?
I thought for sure he was going to get a penalty for landing on him.
Yeah, you're right. It was a little high. But, hey,
yeah.
Call it good, I guess.
I guess so. But, yeah, so it's going to be violent all year with those guys. And, you know, injuries could come into play, but I think you have enough bodies there to at least keep you successful defensively, and that's good to know. You know, would you like to have Daniil all season? Absolutely. Would you like to have Za'Darius all season? Absolutely. I mean, that would just be deadly. And let's hope that continues. But I don't think you're going to drop off all that much if one goes out, and knock on wood, and God forbid both go out.
Yeah. And we are 4-3-1 against the Packers. Or no, maybe that's – I can't remember because we did lose last year. Got our, that was the one game we got our ass kicked because we had the backup quarterback who's not on the team anymore. Where was he at? He's not even on the practice squad. That feels good to say. Anyway, I did like how, you know, Cook, Mattson, Thielen, some of the vets produced down the stretch of the game when they did. When we needed it, when they were starting to lock up JJ a little bit. I say a little bit because it's hard to lock him up. And another thing, speaking of locking him up, you know how we get a good you know, it's every other year with a coordinator, right? Every other year. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, he's gone, head coach. Well, guess who's not going to be able to leave, you know? The head coach, right? We finally have a guy that's calling the plays that it can't leave unless he's a garbage coach. He's gonna, or not garbage coach, but, you know, unless he loses a bunch and then they'll fire him. But he ain't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And Jefferson right now is just cheesing right now. I mean, this guy is like, dude, I'm going to get to 2,000 yards one of these years. And this hire is the right hire, one, and two, just to keep Jeff. Right now, Ziggy's like, all right, so how long is the extension going to be? Not if we're going to. How long is this? Okay, so what would make it record money where no one could ever touch it again, but most of it's Ziggy coming? Okay, cool. We're going to – I mean, this guy, we just signed – the head coach we signed, we just signed Jefferson to an extension off of this hire. I mean, he is cheesing, dude. He is just – oh, it's so – it's such a great hire just for Jefferson alone because we're going to be able to keep him now. There's not going to be the – I don't get the ball. I don't get this. And not even – he hasn't been like that. Diggs is more vocal. Some guys are vocal. Some guys are not. When there's no crowd, he's vocal, right? But everybody's vocal when there's no crowd, right? A lot of people made that stuff when he yelled, hey, Kirk, throw the ball, you know. That stuff happens throughout the whole damn – you know, the whole damn games. We just could hear him that year in 2020. But, man – that is, I don't think people realize how big that is. Not only are we in the modern day football offensively now, we are able to sign Jefferson.
Well, Chris, can we get that contract down tomorrow morning before it starts to get real expensive?
Yep.
You know, just get, you know, I mean, print that thing up tonight and just, you know, get that thing down on the table tomorrow.
Yeah. We're going to have to. We should do it like the USC coach. First of all, buy him a house on Lake Minnetonka. That's something separate, no cap money.
Sure.
And just a bunch of Ziggy money, dude. Keep the clock, you know, the cap somewhat friendly number, but the real money, he just has to stay on the roster for that. And he's so young that, you know, he's not going to be 30 anytime soon. So, yeah, I agree. We got to get that thing worked out. But you could just see he's super happy, and that's – good. And like you said, going back to that complimentary football.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Chris. I brought it up earlier, and it's like, okay, Jefferson went off this game, right? So they're going to adapt. Philly's going to have a plan, and then Adam's going to have one of those games, right? And then they're going to go into the next week, and they're going to say, week three, it'll be about how do you stop them both, you know? And they figure out some genius plan, and then KJ's got 7 catches for 109 yards and 2 touches. Right. So then now you're where you want to be in the season. You want to have, they've got to, you bracket certain times. They're going to have to really get into formation, really get into, you know, the weeds about how to stop these guys. And that's when Cook swings out of the backfield. That's when no one's keeping an eye on Kirk slipping out of the pocket. That's when all the stuff starts to just kind of fractal or out is into this offense. And that's the thing I'm encouraged to see is like, okay, so they're going to bracket the hell out of Jefferson. And they're not going to, you know, they don't want, particularly the Eagles don't want to see his face anywhere near that stadium, you know, due to the Jalen Reagor stuff.
Yeah.
So they're going to deal with this guy. And, you know, Thielen's not a slouch, man. Thielen's a damn good receiver, and he will get 3 touchdowns. If you don't watch him, that guy will have 180 yards and 3 touchdowns quicker than shit. So, you know, that's going to be cool. And like you said, we haven't even seen him unveil the Dalvin Cook component in the passing game.
Yep.
That's a whole different – that's Alvin Kamara-ish type of stuff going on there. So it's going to be, you know, keep this thing on track offensively. It's just going to be a really hard offense to defend. And that's what we knew was this offense and these players were capable of, but we just hadn't seen.
Right, and you can't stick to a system where you're like, dude, our interior fucking sucks. let's try something else, you know, like, and that's what I liked about it. Yeah, Kirk got hit 8 times. He got plenty of pressure, but they worked around it, dude. They worked around it. And, yeah, man, I'm really happy about it. No doubt about it. It's fun. It is definitely going to make the year fun. Now, going on the road on Monday night, Philadelphia coming off a win where Detroit was trying to win that game. I saw this great tweet about Detroit. Like, if you were, you know, if you weren't here for the 3-11 season, don't come for the 6-11 season, bro. You know, something like that, or like 3-14. Yeah. Don't be here now if we go 6-11, bro. You know, just messing around because, you know, that's what Detroit is.
Well, Chris, I can't tell. I watched them yesterday. I watched the offseason. Is Detroit good? I just can't tell. Are they getting better or are they not? I was like, I'm under the impression that, yeah, they're going to be an improved team.
Yeah.
But then you know, so, and I only use that as a gauge to say, you know, how good are the Eagles? If they're,
yeah, exactly.
If you're in a shootout with Detroit, are you a good team or are you, you know, in a shootout with a bad team? That's why I just kind of lost in the whole thing. I'm like, is Detroit improved? If they are improved, that means the Eagles are improved and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and with the quarterback Hurts, you know, he is a, like, the yards per throw attempt. You know, sometimes he won't take a bunch of, you know, attempts. Sometimes he will be in the 30s or 40s. Kind of makes up, you know, how the game goes. But they were over 200 yards last week rushing, which obviously he brings that, the combo there. They also gave up a 181, and Swift is a stud, don't get me wrong. They also gave up a 181 on the ground. So part of what you're talking about as we start this preview, okay, you want to bracket Jefferson? You want to do all that? Well, we got the wide receivers. Like you said, you went through the whole list, and that's totally – but there's also means how many people are in the box then? Oh,
right,
oh, they're,
right.
Oh, you mean it's – okay, well, we're going to run behind Ingram, for Christ's sake. You know, like, I'm telling – like, I think this will be a bigger run game, maybe a short pass out of the backfield game, because like you said, the Cook thing, you could just see flashes of it, and we didn't even depend on him until the fourth quarter, like we were mentioning. So, but yeah, it's kind of feast or famine with Hurt. He'll still throw up some balls where you're like, ooh, what was that? Or have an outing where you're like, oh, man, they were just so keying on him, and Who's he got to throw the ball? Okay, he's good, but, you know, whatever. So, to me, this is – I want to see how we go against a guy that can really move but then also hit you up. When he makes plays, like I said, it's up there. It's like top five, top six in, you know, attempts yardage. He really lets it fly when it's available. But when you give up that many rushing yards – and you're worried about Jefferson that much, I do think we're going to run the ball better this week overall. And you make a good point, like 38, 35, how good are they? You know, I mean, damn, it was on the road, so that's one thing. But, yeah, this is these early seasons, I mean, it's even more that way in college. But you're right, you just can't get too far, too up. The over-under is set at 51.5. We are a same thing last week, except we're on the road, plus 1.5, you know, so minor underdog, but really a pick'em game because you're supposed to have 3.5 points at home. So it's basically a pick'em game. Vegas does have Philly a little favorite there. What's your feeling on this one? Because, you know, we get the extra day. It is on the road. It is Monday night. I don't know. Part of me wants to say, yeah, we're going to win this. The other part is, you know, are we enough glued together, especially like you said, the interior defensive line on defense to stop a guy like Hurts who maybe in week 6, he's not going to be able to do that to us, but can he just make enough plays with his feet and his arms along with their strong run game to kind of, I guess, overpower us or just – keep the ball away from our offense and Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm a little torn just like you. You know, it goes back to how good is Detroit? What did we see on Sunday? Philly's going to be good. They're not a terrible team. A.J. Brown had a hell of a game. Hurts looked improved, but again, that's against Detroit's defense, and we just don't know how good that defense is. And Hurts is a good player, and you're right, he can make big plays. And the running game, Sanders seems to be an effective back, and they did, you know, get some yards on it. So, yeah, I think defensively from that side of the ball, it's going to be a challenge. But then again, we're in the 3-4. We have the fast outside linebackers. Contain is going to be a big deal with Hurts and make him sit in the pocket and make him beat you by throwing to A.J. Brown or to Dallas Goedert or whoever it is he's going to throw the ball to. And offensively, I just don't know what they have a good rush, pass rush, they being Philly. So they can probably do some damage to our offensive line, or at least I won't say expose, but maybe a couple players will get exposed. So I think, you know,
on that real quick, not to interrupt. They did lose Derek Barnett. They're probably their best, the defensive end. They lost him. He's not going to play. Keep going. Sorry.
No, okay. Feather in our cap, I guess. But, he's, you know, I think defensively we'll probably contain Hurts. And like I said, the goal will be to keep him in the pocket and make him throw the ball. And look, if he can beat you going 33 of 40, then, you know, that's great. But they're going to run the ball at us. So run defense is going to be a thing. Look, bottom line here to me, your Monday night, you are, my dog's barking right now.
Hey, it was perfect. It did happen at the last, you know, at the end of the pod. It's going to be tradition. I like it.
Your Monday nights, you're going to hear the Kirk win on Monday. And they dispelled some of those rumors last year. But I think we're going to win this one, Chris. I think we're going to win it. I think it's going to be a little lower scoring than we think. Probably, if I had to give it a call, 23-17, something like that. Maybe just like the game we played. I don't expect us to score a heck of a lot of points, but enough to win. And I think we'll hold them, like I said, down to probably less than 20 points. So I like the Vikings in this one on the road Monday night. And, you know, I don't know what that says against the spread. I didn't really remember what you said, but yeah, I like the Vikings by 3-6.
So today KO in the press conference said, Andrew Booth Jr., who got shook up, it's not long term. And he thinks he'll be able to play. He hopes he's going to play for the Eagles. So the hope and think and all that, who knows. But they did say the young body stacker, I like to call him, because that's what he likes to do in that clip. The young safety, rookie safety out of that Georgia Bulldog program, he is expected to play. He kind of tweaked his knee, but he had that going on prior, so he kind of just tweaked it. The other thing is, this is from Shane Hoff on Twitter. The Eagles allowed 2.9 yards per carry when Jordan Davis was on the field. They allowed 10 yards per carry when he was off the field. So, what's that tell you? He needs to be on the field probably, right? And then we're talking interior, right? And although we may have less in the box, what is in the box is a big body. And, Bradbury, big body, those don't go hand in hand. I don't care if you put on 5, 10, 50, I don't know how many pounds. They say 15 pounds. I don't know. I'm a little – I don't know. I'm going 24-23 Philly to win the game.
Ooh.
You know, Philly 24-23, like you said, I am going under the spread. You know, when I first was thinking about it yesterday, I had it 28-27 Philly, but the more I thought about it today – and then just kind of – I had two scores down, and I kind of thought, you know, it's probably going to be on the spread because we are going to run more. It will be more ball contained and time on the clock and all that. And then hearing you say more about it, it kind of is like, yeah, I'm with you. I think it will go under the 50 and a half or whatever it is for the over and under. But I have Philly winning 24-23. Yeah, so – let's see what happens. Our Gophers did what they're supposed to do. One thing we know about this season, there will be no Bowling Green-type loss because we got our two supposedly supposed to be last year easy games, easier tune-up games. You get the bodies in there. I like that they were – not only were they stunting the hell out of us, so it gives – it's kind of like a scout team thing, but also – they, I mean, they were trying to take away the run, clearly. clear as day. And I liked how they passed. And it sounds so funny, but, you know, as we know, you know, besides the Air Force, Navy, and Army, we were – that's how high we were in attempts for rushing last year. So it was refreshing to see, like, hey, wow, we're passing there when we should be passing. That Jordan Howell made a crazy interception. That was nice. And then I think Mo now, 11 consecutive games with 100-yard rushing. He is – I mean, talk about yards after the catch. This dude is just a stud. So they're going against Colorado at home. They should take care of business. But it is nice. At least we're going to a power five. And then, obviously, we got to get this dub to be able to be, you know, 3-0 heading into at Michigan State in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you got to get this dub, Chris, because Iowa lost, Wisconsin lost. Everybody that needed to lose lost.
Nebraska coach fired.
So you need to get this dub against Colorado. Another scrimmage. Yeah, the 62 whatever scrimmage, you're right. But, you know, they're probably.
I lost your volume. Maybe it's on my side. I don't know if you can hear me. I can't
hear you. Fine. Well, I just said that if we're throwing the ball, and if we had thrown the ball, we would have beat Bowling Green, and there wouldn't have been a Bowling Green to begin with. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's a plus, and that's probably Kirk Ciarrocca back. And like you said, they did try to stop the run. Mo didn't have an incredible day, but Mo and Potts, you know, did what they needed to do. Colorado's not a great squad, which is kind of sad, but you know, you got to get out here, and you can't be giving up any games this year. It's just the way things are set up now. It's just you got to win out. You got to win the games you got to win, right? And I know Michigan State next week is going to be a test, but you got to beat Colorado. No more dropping games that you shouldn't drop. That just can't happen. Not at this stage of the program. And, you know, I like defensively what's going on, but you like you said, you pointed out a lot of bodies. That's going to start to settle into your rotation here soon. And you're going to start seeing the same guys that can play, but it is nice to get out of the non-conference. And if you can get out unscathed and get into the meat of the season, it really strange though, Chris, those early losses for Wisconsin and Iowa are just shocking to me.
Especially at home. I mean, the Iowa State, I get that's different because that's a rival, sure. But
makes
they were
more
favored
sense.
By 15 or 17 Wisconsin at home. And they ran the shit out of the ball. They had the ball for like 40 minutes.
That's what they do, yeah. Crazy. Yeah. But it just sets you up in a really good position now to go in and have a heck of a season. So you don't want to let that fall. And I guess impressive was throwing the ball. I thought Tanner, the long passes were surprising because you just don't see a lot of them. I even thought the second string kid, his name, Gallic Manis, I think is his name, something like that, had a great pass. Looks like, you know, the program's in pretty good hands if Tanner decides to stay for his 12th year. But, yeah, I mean, so far it's kind of like, you know, that nothing new under the sun. They're doing the same things, you know, just maybe a little bit better. Mo doesn't seem – is it me or he just doesn't seem to be back to full Mo yet, but he's coming around to it. Just maybe not as violent to me.
That's why I like the way this schedule's set up this year, because you're right. Same with Trey Potts. He looks a little fresher, but you're right. They both are kind of getting the rust off.
And so, yeah, one more scrimmage. I mean, I don't know what the spread is on the Colorado game, but last year we beat them like 30-0. Now that's last year, of course, and PJ always says we're 1-1 in the Western Kentucky season. Or Western Illinois, as it were, but.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing to me, Chris, is you can't drop any mulligans this year. You cannot give up that one game. And, you know, to top it off, I just was reminded of this when I was watching the broadcast, that it was Bowling Green at home on homecoming. And you're a great program, so that just can't happen. So let's make sure that doesn't happen this week. I like the Gophers, obviously. I think they're going to win. And then, you know, we can really start talking Big Ten and start talking a meaningful season, because the Big Ten opponents will be lined up.
Yep. And kind of per usual, since PJ Fleck got here, at least since 2019, the West is open. It's open. And whoever can put a competent offense between Iowa, Wisconsin, and in the Ghosts, Northwestern just lost home to Duke, and they were a 10-point favorite. Purdue could put up points on that side, but they're in shootouts. So it's like, I don't know. You know, they're going to win some games by scoring points because, you know, they got a quarterback and they can throw the ball around. It's not like they got a horrible defense because they don't. But, yeah, I mean, it's really just competent, solid. We all know that we're all going to, you know, most of us can be able to run the ball. It's just making those key passes. And you're right. I agree. Down the field passing and just going for it. Kind of like we were talking about the Vikes run, run, pass. Hey, pass once in a while, first and 10. We got a go-to wide receiver. Let's do it, you know. So, and then health, obviously, in the wide receiver bunch. Yeah, man, I'm seeing a lot of positivity. But like you said, we're going to find out once the 10 season goes. All right. So how do you want to do next Monday? Do you want to do a post-game, or do we want to push it sometime during the week past Monday night? I just thought about that. Monday night football will probably be done by 10:30.
Sure. Let's just go fresh off the game. We might be a little knee-jerk at that point, ladies and gentlemen, but it'll be fresh off the fresh off the couch. So, also,
I'll make
sure
I'm live then. I'll make sure I'm live.
Good deal. And I also want to say, hey, I'm not overlooking Colorado. Please don't think that I am. Just because, you know, I don't want to look forward to the Big Ten season and overdo it. And then next week I got to say, well, we thought, you know, that you could just suck. And, yeah, and then Illinois, Chris, I want to bring that up quick. They look a little bit better. And I think that might be the hump we got to get over. Just don't drop another one to Illinois.
Yeah, and that's another one where, you know, three or four completed passes, you know, and we probably win that freaking game. Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. All right, we'll be back post-game Monday Night Football, Vikes-Phillies. Let's get it done and be 2-0. Peace.